I was talking in one of the earlier chapters, I was talking about Shaheen Mistry and the Akanksha Foundation. Now, the Akanksha Foundation started with 15 children, just about 15 children. And then now it has, thousands of children who are benefiting from it. And it has thousands of, teachers who are enrolled and who are trained and teaching these children from disadvantaged areas across Maharashtra and across Mumbai and Pune. Now, the same lady who, because of her father's job and position career, lived in, grew up in her younger formative years in 13, 14 countries and was very, was exposed to best practices everywhere, networks, how the dynamics work. And in addition to starting Akanksha, she also, in the mid-2000s, she also started the Teach for India program, where she took, she derived inspiration from Teach for America. Again, a mission to have skill, to have teachers, driven, passionate teachers, tie up and with them, provide them the skill to provide essential education across the board. She has been recognized in a lot of global platforms. She has received a lot of awards. And if one was to just list some of the milestones, then this is how it would go. From their origins in 2008, Teach for India has about 1,200 trained, skilled teachers, who are exposed to leadership in the solution sector, in the education sector, who are 1,200 teachers are enabling that the Teach for India mission achieves its mission and targets. There are over 1,700 fellows of Teach for India who are placed in schools across 7 cities. So there is this whole collaboration which is happening where it is a pay it forward through each of these fellows and through each of these teachers. So the recognition and the testimony to how strong it is, this mission is. Shaheen Mistry has received several awards. She's on the board of several organizations which are committed to education for the disadvantaged and a lot of other socially impactful programs and companies. Of course, there was a significant contribution of Wendy Kopp in inspiring Shaheen Mistry, Wendy Kopp being the founder of Teach for America. And that is how you see how when there is a social entrepreneur, they are not simply doing good themselves, they are inspiring others to do good, and which is what I was referring to when earlier I was talking about, Bornstein saying that social enterprise and social impact is something which is very positively contagious. So this getting inspired by others, seeing what they made possible, enabling that in your communities is what really makes a difference and is going to be needed for a growing domestic and global population, because the needs, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is way too wide and needs to be bridged as much as possible. So when we're talking about skilling, when we're talking about leadership, we're talking from the education point of view. Likewise, when I had mentioned the Daily Labor Hub, the innovation platform is also again leveraging on skill-based recruitment. So when it's connecting the daily wage laborer to the contractors and to the customers, then they are being able to hire based on using the technology, based on location, based on skills. So when you have a skill-based filter, whether it comes to education, training, etc., that makes the makes the practicality that much higher. Imagine, if you are teaching people generic subjects versus you are understanding what maybe enterprises in the local areas, what is the kind of skill set required for employees, potential employees in that region, and then accordingly you are imparting education to your beneficiaries from a skill based point of view. That will make their employability that much stronger and make their livelihoods that much more sustainable and relevant. So when we are talking about, education, when we are talking about training, of course, there is generic education training which is required, but also skill-based training at the private level, investment at the government level is very, very important, especially for the underreserved sectors, because it is a very strong foundation of them increasing their chances of getting productively hired and hence improving their livelihood and the future of their the family and their community. So this is very important. Employment potential is very important when we are talking about education at various levels. We have spoken about the Pani Foundation, driven by the droughts and need for watershed management. Mr. Aamir Khan, who used his network, used his passion, and he collaborated with people to work on with thousands of farmers across multiple districts in Maharashtra to bring about this to bring about a positive social impact in their lives in terms of irrigation needs, in terms of increasing productivity. And of course, a venture like this would have required immense understanding of the local regional areas. Very often, we cannot assume, just because we may be speaking Hindi and English, we cannot assume that we can operate in Maharashtra without speaking, in the interiors, speaking the local language, or operate in Gujarat without speaking the local language. So an understanding and communication in a way where the beneficiaries find it easiest to absorb would have been involved, which brings me to another very interesting entrepreneurship, which is we are all familiar with ChatGPT, which primarily is in English. So there is this social enterprise which is creating a regional ChatGPT, which is taking information, language, data from regional languages and creating a database so that there is a parallel, a replication of, a ChatGPT kind of service at a regional level. And the way their model works is that people who give them information, people in local languages, etc., these people are from a lot of times from the communities which are disadvantaged, and they receive a remuneration for the data, for the information they provide. And this remuneration comes because this regional ChatGPT compiles all of that data and information and shares it and sells it to clients who need that information in that in those regional languages. So the clients who pay for it, that money is credited directly into the accounts of the people who are speaking in those multiple regional languages and contributing to the data on this regional ChatGPT platform. So this platform called Karya is very interesting to understand how you can leverage language, communication, cultural understanding and make it a solid solid business model, which is it creating employment, because those who are the people who are the beneficiaries, who are sharing information, who are giving data in different languages to this platform, which is Onward being sold to clients, they are this is their source of livelihood. So you have created employment, you have created livelihood for these people, which is at the core of so much other benefit, whether it's health, whether it's education for their families, whether it's education for themselves, so much dignity of life coming in through that simple idea of replicating a need, replicating a ChatGPT kind of need in local languages. Of course, there is a need for it. Why didn't someone think of it before? Someone thought about it, but actually took action. So the idea is very good, but someone took action on this idea and delivered. So now it has the success of this is evidenced in the fact that it is operational in, it is working in 22 different states. So you can imagine how much data is coming in the local languages, in the regional languages. So social enterprise, a lot of the social enterprise, and especially at the India, at the domestic Indian level, requires a lot of cultural understanding, communication and understanding and communication in ways and languages which are easily absorbed by the local communities. So, of course, Pani has had, you know, a lot of success because of Mr. Aamir Khan's position. They have also got a lot of good PR. The fact that I'm talking about it, whenever you're talking about social enterprise in India and the top, you know, ideas, chances are that along with Amul and Lijjat Papad, which have decades and decades of legacy behind them, you know, because of the visibility that this gets because of a Bollywood superstar, chances are that Pani is also listed among those, you know, front-running social enterprises. So even though it is a lot newer, the kind of PR that it has managed to get also helps with the mission, also helps, you know, from a funding point of view, should they need it, also helps from a point of view of inspiring others of what could be done here. Having said that, you know, talking about funding, let me clarify that this initiative of, you know, Pani does not involve micro-lending or disbursing loans or money. It is enabling the farmers by creating, you know, an ecosystem in terms of irrigations, productivity, technology, to improving their yields, not necessarily disbursing or not disbursing money. So it is not a matter of disbursing money. It is a matter of empowering them, making them stronger so that they can be more productive in their environments and communities. So a lot of the villagers have responded extremely positively to it. There is a lot of knowledge, training, etc., you know, which has been imparted to them. And of course, action at all levels is needed, and eventually from the main beneficiaries, a lot of recognition, contests, all of those things are imbibed in the whole process and their model, so that most people can be attracted to it and benefit from it. Talking about small and large enterprises, an enterprise in a different area from the ones that we have been talking about so far is Bharat Vikas Group, which is into total facility management. The founder, he was very, very strongly influenced by Swami Vivekanand, and he is also involved in the complete maintenance of and upkeep of the Rashtrapati Bhavan, PMO office, Supreme Court, RBI, and they are one of the bringing the human touch. They are one of the front runners in total facility management, and again inspiring people to indulge in ethical social enterprise. So again, a market leader in an industry where you have a lot of small players, which is scattered, disorganized, and so a lot of the other players can learn from BVG is as well. Talking about Jaipur Rugs Foundation again, an enterprise aimed at benefiting, like Fab India, aimed at benefiting the local artisans, the local level, promoting local level artistry, so that local artisans can benefit not only in terms of breaking out of exploitative arrangements, but also being represented at national, international platforms and unleashing their potential. Now, when I'm talking about this, let me also talk about lesser known foundation, but lesser known initiative, but very, very innovative idea, which aimed at breaking stereotypes. So, Bihar Tea is an organization which aims to break the stereotype of what people associate with Bihar, which is very often a very ruffian kind of image, whether it's because of Bollywood or whether it's because of biased media reports or whatever else. So Bihar Tea is a platform for artisans which aims at breaking this stereotype. They are showcasing this platform is again promoting artisans, local artisans, showcasing beautiful products from the local arts and traditions of the disadvantaged communities in Bihar, giving them a good, associating good quality with these products, standardization, good quality, providing employment to the local artisans, harnessing their communities, improving their communities. And the fact that it has been received very well is that they have monthly revenue of more than 1.5 lakhs, which for small ventures like this, the success and how well Bihar Tea has been received is evidenced in the fact that they are achieving a monthly revenue of consistently over 1.5 lakh rupees, which is very creditable for a small venture like this. And also, the products that they are making, Sujani dolls, tote bags, etc., are products which are very popular, very usable, practical. And they are creating this dignity and this sense of pride among the local artisans in promoting their products and also giving a new lease of life to the local arts and crafts of these communities and of these regions. So this is how you, give back. Now, the person who came up with this was obviously conscious and aware that not always are positive things associated with Bihar because of the biases that I mentioned, and that's not fair. And to break that and at the same time have a positive social impact on employment, on livelihood, on dignity, let it be through an enterprise. Of course, there would have been a lot of understanding, a lot of market research, groundwork, planning, etc. But even a fledgling enterprise like this is, breaking even and making money, which is very, very creditable, because then that gives them the flexibility of scaling up, of investing back in their beneficiaries, in their venture, of then reaching out to more platforms domestically, internationally, and scaling up to compete with the larger enterprises. Innovative thinking in terms of promoting these artisans is giving voice to these artisans is a very, very important. In the times of 30, 40 years ago, there were a lot of movies which were made, which on the parallel cinema, which is the non-commercial cinema, which movies which were made about artisans and their lives and, weavers, etc. And some of them are absolutely brilliant, with some of the finest actors like Shabana Azmi working in them, which gave a voice and created awareness about the lives, the arts, the challenges that these communities face. And I really wish that there was a revival of that, because today, through technology, such kind of productions, such kind of movies and films can reach a much wider audience. Awareness can be created, a lot more stakeholders can participate in these journeys to intensify the empowerment and ownership that these local artisans experience through these various enterprises. Another enterprise that, let me talk about, is a women-oriented enterprise by Ajayta Shah of Frontier Markets. Groundbreaking work in healthcare, mobile technology, empowering women. And she really truly believes that poverty alleviation, and when we see the case of Grameen Bank in detail in one of the later chapters, you will see how the majority of borrowers are, a larger part of the borrowers are women. And clearly enough evidence exists in enterprises across to show that investing in women leads to a very holistic growth. I'm not saying don't invest in men, but in a lot of ways, women who are actually considered the homebound homemakers, when it comes to decision making, leadership opportunities, women can have very often a much more holistic impact, and hence so many initiatives to empower women, whether that's Lijjat Papad, whether that's Seva, whether it is via the Ajayta Shah Mantra Enterprise. So through this, she has received a lot of recognition. She has received a lot of awards, and then that obviously helps the cause for her Mantra Enterprise, which is aiming to empower women more and more in the disadvantaged communities. So we saw a landscape of Indian startups which have scaled up, which have had decades of success, and startups which are absolutely fledgling and hopefully will have far-reaching success. Today, there are a lot more enabling tools, whether that is by way of infrastructure, communication channels, technology, which can make the scalability far speedier than the kind of infrastructure, technology, etc. That, say, Lijjat Papad was working with in its initial years, or Amul was working in its initial years. So I would urge young social entrepreneurs to leverage these very strong tools which exist, resources which exist today, by way of communications, technology, infrastructure, workshops, conferences, networking events, to push their ideas into action and to scale up their startups at a trajectory which was not possible decades ago. Thank you.